Acts 1, 4 through 8 says, "On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, 'Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So when they met together, they asked him, 'Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?' He said to them, 'It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth.'" This is the word of the Lord for us.
It was in 2016, and Eric Heffelmeyer was working on his GMC truck. So he was on his back under the vehicle, as some of you are familiar with. So he's reaching, he's sort of straining for some corroded brake lines when the worst possible thing happened. The jack gave way. The truck came down, pinning him. And to make it even worse, it had a gas leak. He's doused in gas, and it immediately catches fire. He is on fire, pinned beneath his truck. There's nothing he can do. It's horrifying. He thought he was going to die. But then something remarkable happened. You see, Eric's 19-year-old daughter, Charlotte, was there, and she came rushing to help him. And in this inexplicable display of power, the 120-pound teenager lifted the 4,000-pound, and by the way, it's burning, it's on fire, truck to free her father. So she's hailed as a hero. You can see this was all over the headlines. She did a big tour on all the talk shows. And of course, she's asked about, how did you do this? Like, where did you find the strength? How did you possibly manage to free your dad? It's like supernatural power. And she said, "Dad's always been there for me. I wasn't going to let him die." There are just times where you have supernatural power. You have power that's beyond your capabilities that otherwise you would be incapable of doing. That's exactly what happened for this young lady, Charlotte. And you know, we suspect it was adrenaline. It was sheer will. Or maybe it was fear. You find your dad in such a predicament. And something inside her surged. And she was able to do this incredible act of power. What if I told you that you have access to supernatural, incredible power each and every day? We're going to see from the scriptures this morning that God has given us his Holy Spirit to empower us, to fill us with a supernatural power. He gives us his Holy Spirit to give us power to advance God's kingdom, and that's just what we're going to talk about today. So my name is John. I'm thrilled that you're with us. I pray that through our time together, your heart grows stronger and your faith grows deeper. So we are in a new sermon series in the new year called Advance. We kicked this off last Sunday. For those of you who were here, you recall, we went to Matthew chapter 28. This is the Great Commission, where our Lord says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." So we talked about how we're called to advance the kingdom of God by making disciples. Well, in the very next part of that passage, the next sentence, that's where we're going to key in today. So in Matthew chapter 28, in the second part of verse 20, our Lord continues with that great commission, and he says, "And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." He says, "I am with you always." Jesus is always with us. He has given us his Holy Spirit. Now you say, well, Jesus himself, if I recall correctly, you're a biblical scholar, didn't he ascend into heaven? Didn't he say bye-bye and go into heaven? Yes, yes, you're right. That would be true. He went to be at the right hand of the Father. He went to prepare a place for us. But he told us that when he physically left, he would send another helper. Remember John chapter 14. He says, "I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate," or we could say helper or comforter, to help you and to be with you forever, the Spirit of truth. The world cannot accept him, Jesus teaches, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. So we understand that when Jesus says that he will be with us always, he says, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What he means is he's sending the Spirit of God to indwell us and to live in us. Which brings us to a foundational doctrinal truth of our faith, and that is the Trinity. The God that we know and serve and love is three in one. Each part fully God. Each part fully distinct. Each part fully connected to the other parts. It's hard to understand. One of the ways that I've described it is like an egg. And you go, well, it's one egg, but it's got yolk, white, and shell. Three distinct parts, but you wouldn't say those are separate. It's one egg. That's not even a perfect illustration. But we understand something about our God, that it is God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll confess to you that I think so often we focus on God the Father and God the Son, and we don't so much focus on God the Holy Spirit. There was a Sunday school class that was studying the Apostles' Creed. We sang that song a few moments ago. And they were memorizing it, and then the plan was they're going to sort of perform this. They're going to recite this. And so each child in the class was assigned one sentence. And so one Sunday, they're gathered, and they're working on their little project. And so the first one says, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. And the second says, I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. And so then a few other children follow with their parts. It's the virgin birth and the death and resurrection of Jesus. And then there's just this awkward silence. They're waiting. Okay, where's the next guy? They're waiting for the next line to be recited, which is about the Holy Spirit. And finally, one child speaks up and says, Teacher, the boy who believes in the Holy Spirit's not here today. You know, I've always found it humorous that in the King James, it's the English wording is the Holy Ghost. I've always found that sort of, in some ways, it's like not really helping with the most misunderstood part of the triune Godhead by calling it a ghost. You know, I can only imagine small children. Ghost? Ah! But I think in most traditions, probably, it's more accurately translated as the Holy Spirit. And what I want to do in our time together today is go to the book of Acts chapter 1. This is where Rhonda read for us a few moments ago. And let's look closely together at verse 8. We're getting a real deep theological lesson today on the Holy Spirit, which is theology proper, which is the study of God, God the Holy Spirit. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the words of our Lord, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And then you'll be my witnesses, Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. So the Holy Spirit gives us power. Remember, we talked about the teenage girl lifting the truck off of her dad in this supernatural display of power. I think that's a good graphic illustration, good imagery for the Christian believer filled with the Holy Spirit and able to do powerful things. You know what I really love is doing a word study here, and the Greek word of the power that God gives us is the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our words dynamite and dynamic. You know, dynamite! That's what God says he does in us and through us with the Holy Spirit. He gives us dynamite power. You know, we say, wow, that was dynamic. That was action-packed. That is what the Holy Spirit does in us. So the question becomes then, well, what is it that the Holy Spirit gives us power to do? Am I supposed to wander around looking for people pinned under trucks? Well, I want to share with us three things from the Scripture today that the Holy Spirit gives us power to do. And the first is the Holy Spirit gives us power to share our testimony. So we talked about this last week. I'll touch briefly on it again this morning. The Holy Spirit gives us power to share our testimony. The Lord says, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. There is power in our testimony. Remember, we talked about sharing stories last week, and I hope that in the course of a week's time, God gave you opportunities to share stories. That God opened your eyes to see where He is at work and loosened your tongue to speak of those things. That you were, remember the one quote from last week, bragging about God. Just, you can hardly believe what my God is able to do. You can hardly believe what I saw because of the Almighty. So the Holy Spirit gives us power to share our testimony. Like Jesus says in Luke chapter 12, I tell you, whoever publicly acknowledges me before others, the Son of Man will also acknowledge. Well, that's a convicting verse right there. Like, if you're not ashamed of the gospel, if you're willing to speak of God's goodness, then He's going to say, oh, that's mine. And well done. But here's what's interesting. In that same passage, Luke chapter 12, if we look at verse 12, here's what Jesus says. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. So no longer do we have the excuse of, well, I haven't been to seminary. Well, I'm not very good with words. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what to say. Luke 12, 12. We start in our own homes. We start in our neighborhood, and then we reach out to the nations. That's what Jesus is getting at, by the way, when he says Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Our own community, our broader region, our nation, and then around the globe. I do want to take a moment and just comment on the events of last week, the things that have happened in our nation that can only be described as turmoil, turbulence, difficulty, challenge. And listen, although it just feels like everything has been turned upside down, I want to encourage us today that our God is a rock, that He is immovable, He is unshakable, that when you build your life on Him, you're not phased, you're not torn apart. When the storms come, you don't wash away. You stand strong, not because of your strength, but because of the strength of God. This is what the Scriptures teach us. On Friday, we have staff Bible study, and we went to Psalm 18 and just spent time there finding comfort and finding hope. Because it says our God is a rock. It says He is a fortress. It says He is our deliverer. And so I want to challenge us also to consider what is our role when we face national crises and a world in turmoil. What is our role? It's to help. It's to be a helper. And many people, most people in our nation and in our world, they need hope and they need healing. And so God wants to use us as agents to bring that about. And that might be through prayer, and that might be through physically serving someone. That might be through a smile. That might be through saying, do you know Jesus? Because I want to tell you about my God. But I want to encourage us and challenge us to find solace in our God who is a rock, and then to be used by God as an agent to bring healing and hope, and to never lose sight of our mission and our calling to share the life-giving power of Jesus. You know, sometimes it's just when a nation goes through turbulence that people are even more receptive to spiritual things, even more receptive to the gospel at work in their lives. So God, loosen our tongues to speak of your goodness, to tell stories, and to share the life-giving power of Jesus with the world. And I want to encourage us today, as we're getting back to our sermon and our study of the Holy Spirit, that it is indeed the Holy Spirit that gives us power to share our testimony. In fact, I'm kind of nerding out today on the word studies. But if you look at both the Greek and the Hebrew for spirit, it's literally breath. So in New Testament, Old Testament, when we see the Holy Spirit, it's literally the word breath. God puts His breath in us so that we would speak about Him. And there's this amazing passage in John chapter 20 where Jesus says to His disciples, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you. And then John 20 and verse 22. And with that, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. That's kind of a moment where you're reading the scripture and you don't just keep reading and gloss over it. It's a moment where you go back. He did what? He breathed on them and he said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." Okay, it's not very COVID friendly. I realize that. We go, wait a minute, you can't be breathing on people. But what a powerful image, what a powerful moment when Jesus breathes the Holy Spirit into his disciples. Like, it kind of reminds me of Genesis chapter 2, when God has created and formed Adam, and yet he's lifeless and has not yet come alive. And the Lord, the scriptures say he breathes the breath of life into his nostrils. And that's when Adam becomes a living being. The breath of God. The Holy Spirit. Literally the word breath. God breathing into us that we might use our breath to sing his praises, to share of his goodness, to tell his stories, and to be his witnesses. Okay, second thing that the Holy Spirit gives us power to do, and that is to influence others. Oh, we hear a lot about influencers these days, don't we? Influencers. Some of you aspire to be one. YouTube and social media are full of them. They might be adventure travelers or makeup artists or fitness gurus, right? There's one guy, and I love this, and he teaches basic life skills for kids who don't have dads. I don't know if you guys have, I should have taken note of his name. I'm not sure what it is, but this guy has all of these videos, and they're basic life skills that a dad would teach his son. It's how to tie a necktie, how to change a tire, how to unclog a sink. It's cool. But influencers, they're all over. They might be video game specialists or experts in trick shots. And the reason for that is just to say, influencers make an impact, and they have people that follow them, that hang on their every word and their every action. They have a following. They have people who listen to them. They have people who want to be like them. How many other trick shot channels have arisen? People wanting to do what it is that Dude Perfect does because they're awesome. And what I'm suggesting this morning is, in the same way, the Holy Spirit gives us power so that we can speak into people's lives to influence them for Christ, to advance the gospel. And again, I want to be clear on this. This is not of us. This is of God. So what happens when the Holy Spirit lives in you? We already talked about the young woman and the supernatural feat of strength. So, you know, I think for some of us, there are some misconceptions. What happens when the Holy Spirit fills my life? You know, is it like an Incredible Hulk situation? Do I get bulging muscles all of a sudden? Like, does my skin turn into a different color? Can I leap tall buildings in a single bound? Can I lift burning trucks with one finger? Does my IQ go up 100 points? What happens when the Holy Spirit fills me? What does this power do? Well, again, I want to take us back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, the words of our Lord Jesus. The answer is right there. You will be my witnesses. You will be spiritual influencers. And you go, well, why do we need supernatural power? Why do we need the Holy Spirit to indwell us to be a witness, to share about what we've seen God doing, to be a storyteller? And to that I would say, well, number one, because you don't always have the right words. But even so, I agree that in some sense, yeah, we can tell stories. We probably have that capability. People tell stories all the time. And it's probably not so much that we need the Holy Spirit to fill us so that we will share stories and speak the truth of God's word. We do that. That's true. But it's probably more important because of the listeners who need to hear it. So the scripture teaches us that when someone is not saved, they are dead in sin. Paul teaches it this way in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14. He says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. So the supernatural power of the Holy Spirit is that amazing way that someone who doesn't have faith in God and doesn't have the Spirit of God within them might hear and receive the gospel. That's really why we need the Holy Spirit power. Because we want to see lives transformed. And God wants to use us to influence others in that way. Do not underestimate the power of influence. Do not underestimate the power of your influence. In fact, let's just think for a moment even of the things that are influencing you. Because there are all kinds of things that are. There are physical influences. So you might be uncomfortable right now. You might be tired. You might be hungry. Your foot might hurt. Those things are influencing you. There are, of course, emotional influences. You feel angry or lonely or confused or you're anxious about the Browns game tonight, understandably. Those are emotional influences. There are relational influences. The people around you. The people in your life and the way they speak and the way they act and the way they think and what is their theology. What's their work ethic? Are they people of compassion? You're influenced mentally. You're thinking about the future, your plans for the day, the upcoming things at work. You're thinking about the weather report and the stock market report and the financial report and the upcoming inauguration. Or maybe it's your past that's influencing you. The things you did that you regret. The things you said that you wish you could take back. The things that were done to you. The things that were said to you. Your identity. Your abilities, your family, your upbringing, your background. Your traditions. That's probably the biggest one in our community, actually. I should have said that first. What influences you? Your traditions. Those things long held, long believed, long practiced that impact the way you live, the way you think, the way you function. There are all kinds of things that are influencing you. And by the way, praise God, because God influences us for good many times. Think about the people God has put in your life. In fact, if you stay for Sunday school, and I hope you do, I want to invite you to do that. Stay for the next hour. We're going to gather in smaller groups, and we're going to pray together, and we're going to get into the scripture, and we're going to talk. We're going to maybe unpack and discuss things. But one specific thing we're going to talk about is, who are those people that have influenced your life? Thank God for them, the people that have prayed for you and helped you. Praise God that He puts the right people in our lives at the right time. But along with that, beware of bad influences. Beware of the people that aren't going to help you or advance you into be who God wants you to be. And rather than waiting to see who or what's going to influence you, how about this? You influence those people in your life. You choose to be an influencer for Christ. God intends for His people to make an impact. He has filled us with His Holy Spirit and given us power to influence others for Him. You know the way Jesus talks about us, right? Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world, He says. You are the salt of the earth, He says. He says, let your light shine before others that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. That's what I'm talking about. Being people who influence others. That they would say, I can't believe you made that choice. I can't believe that you did that action. I can't believe you think this way. I can't believe that when these situations arise, this is your response. You influence others all the time. So what I'm saying is, don't underestimate the power of your influence and thank God for His Holy Spirit that gives you power to do so. And use your influence to advance the kingdom of God. Of course, the Bible also teaches us about things that hurt our witness. Things that damage our influence. Grumbling and complaining. And how tempting that is. To grumble and to complain. Self-pity. Woe is me. Why does this always have to happen to me? It damages our influence. Foolish and sinful choices damage our influence. choosing the wrong friends, or just simply living a life with self at the center. Self-centeredness. Which actually leads us to our third point this morning as we're talking about what is it that the Holy Spirit gives us power to do? We've talked about the Holy Spirit gives us power to be witnesses and to influence others. The third is that the Holy Spirit gives us power to serve one another. To serve one another. You see, the Holy Spirit has given each believer a spiritual gift. And it is perfectly suited for you. It is designed to be a blessing to others, to build up and edify and encourage others. And so when you use your spiritual gift, what happens is it brings joy to you, it's helpful to others and those around you, and it's glorifying to God. 1 Peter 4:10 says this, "Each of you should use whatever gift you've received to serve others. As faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised." Like the churchgoer, he went to the gifts committee chairperson. This was after the church had gone through a spiritual gifts campaign. And he goes, "Well, I've only got one spiritual gift. It's the gift of criticism." The chairperson responds with gratitude. Well, thank you. Yeah, I appreciate that. Now, do you remember in Jesus' parable about the person who had one talent? And do you recall what they did with it? The man says, yeah, he went out and buried it. The leader smiles and says, go and do likewise. You see, we are to serve others in love. The gifts of the Spirit, listen to this, the gifts of the Spirit go hand in hand with the fruit of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit go hand in hand with the fruit of the Spirit. And so, we serve others. And when we do, we serve Christ. When we serve others, we're actually serving Christ. And so, we reflect the image of God to those around us. When we choose, empowered by the Holy Spirit, to humble ourselves and to serve others. And so that's why we, you know, help with meals for local kids. That's why we come alongside people to help them, maybe at Christmas time when they don't have enough. That's why we would go out and rake leaves or shovel snow for someone. And there are opportunities all around us and all around you for serving and helping others. Cleaning and organizing at our library, mulching and landscaping for a friend, doing the light home repair, the building a deck for a widow. It's why we do those things, and I want to encourage us to continue doing those things. It's why we come alongside someone who's down and who's hurting and offer prayer. Let's keep doing those things and serving one another. And so Paul tells us, of course, in Galatians chapter 5, this is the fruit of the Spirit. He says it's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And against such things, there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. And then he says this, since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Show me a Spirit-filled believer, and I will show you a servant. The Holy Spirit gives us power to serve others. And it is a supernatural, dynamite kind of power. Like a teenage girl lifting a burning truck off of her father. You know what the Lord said to Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6? He said, not by might nor by power, but by what? Somebody help me. By my Spirit. Let's say it together. By my Spirit. Says the Lord Almighty. That is the supernatural power. Not because we've lifted weights. Not because we've trained. Not because we are capable. But because of the very breath, the very Spirit of God filling our lungs, filling our lives, animating us and awakening us to a life lived for Him and for His beauty, for His glory. That is the beauty of a life empowered by the Holy Spirit. It's not something we need to be afraid of. It's not something we need to question. It's to say, the beauty of a life empowered by the Spirit of God means it all points to Him. It all points to Him. It causes people to reflect on Christ and His transforming power. It causes people to reflect on His goodness, His unconditional love, His ability to take a feeble and flawed human and weave them into His story of redemption in a way that highlights our gracious God, in a way that advances His kingdom and His purposes. It is by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, that we advance the gospel. And I love in John 15 when Jesus uses the vine and the branches as an image for how we are connected to God the Father. And that apart from Him, we can do nothing. We are connected to God the Father. And so therefore, we produce fruit. So I want you to hear it again. When the Holy Spirit fills your life, when it's His breath in your lungs, you will praise God even when others complain. You will share stories of God at work. You will not fall prey to foolish thinking, to sinful choices. But you'll make decisions and your lifestyle will be consistent with the gospel and it will honor God. You will keep in step with the Spirit. You will be a spiritual influencer. So listen and be challenged by what Paul says in Ephesians 5. Be very careful then how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. So I want to go all the way back to Matthew chapter 28, where we began, and Jesus says, I am with you always. Jesus' promise is a reality. He is with us always. He has not left us as orphans. He has come to us. His Spirit lives in us. He said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Praise God that He is with us, that He indwells us, and that His Spirit gives us power. Power to share our testimony, power to influence others, powerful to serve with a sacrificial love. And so, friends, may we be filled with the Holy Spirit of God and have lives that are fruitful because of Christ indwelling us. And may God be glorified because of His Spirit that guides us. And may lives be impacted by the gospel as we see the kingdom advance. Let's pray together. Almighty and gracious God, we are thankful today and we express our gratitude to you for the transforming work you've done in our lives and in our hearts. And Lord, would you continue that work to make us even more like you? And to fill us with your Spirit to accomplish not our own selfish desires or ambitions, but God, what it is that you have in mind. That it is not by might nor by power, but it is by your Spirit. And so, Lord, we open ourselves as vessels to be filled by you and your Holy Spirit. That you would breathe the breath of life into us. That we might be used by you, influencing others and proclaiming your goodness as we live out lives with only the wisdom that comes from you. We ask that you would accomplish this, that you would do it for your name and for your glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.